It's Wednesday, the 2nd of December, 2015. Happy birthday to Brandon Knight. Hello and welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Jordan Trees. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast for just one day, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can be that sponsor, just like Jordan Trees did. Thank you to everyone who has left a review on iTunes so far this season. It has been fantastic and I do really appreciate it, but also a big thanks goes out to Moneyball.com.au, who Australia's only daily fantasy sports site, who have been great sponsoring the show and putting out some great DFS contests. Hope you guys got involved today. They had a free roll out there for all existing members, which was great to get involved with as well. And join in if you are in Australia and in New Zealand as well, because New Zealand is accepted on Moneyball. New Zealand residents are able to play on Moneyball. Make sure you're getting involved there. All right, it's quite a bit to talk about today with a day with. Not that many games. A few things happened that we need to discuss, I think. So,
let's get to it.
The monstrous line of the night. A guy who would, I think it's fair to say, had disappointed a few people this season. Marc Gasol of the Memphis Grizzlies. I had Marc Gasol in my Moneyball lineup tonight, which I ended up doing pretty well on. And before the game started to tip, we heard Dave Yeager come out and say that he really wants to get Marc Gasol's minutes down. I thought, oh, of course he'd. Like, he's been playing 39 minutes a game. Of course now, today, he wants to get Gasol's minutes right down. Well, that didn't happen. 42 minutes for Gasol, 38 points, a career high, 13 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 blocks. He went 11 of 22 from the field and 16 of 16 from the free throw line. Just a superb performance from Gasol. You wish he would have got a steal just to really round out the line, but overall, that's a really big performance. His season, yes, it hasn't been great to date, but it's starting to come around. The last few games, the last 2 weeks have been really impressive. He's back as a top 25 player in that time frame. He's outside the top 40 at the moment, but he's pushing himself back up there after a slow start. Now, it's helping that he's playing a lot more minutes. He's at 39 over the last 2 weeks, and that's due to that injury to Brandon Wright. We don't know when Wright is coming back, and you'd have to think that Gasol's minutes will start to come down a bit, or they will when Wright comes back. But you'd hope that Yeager can actually reduce his minutes, so he's not playing 41 minutes a night. Still, the numbers have been really good. We know he's one of the better passing big men in the league. He's averaging 5 assists over those last 2 weeks, 1.5 steals, 1.5 blocks with 16 and 10. So pretty good numbers, and an awesome free throw shooting season from Gasol. He's at 88% from the free throw line, well up on his 80 from last year. Like, 80 is still good, 77 is still good the year before, but now up at 88, just putting up some pretty big numbers and getting better, which is always good to see. And I don't think we can totally ignore the Eurobasket effect here, that maybe he was a little bit worn down and it's a slightly different game. Wasn't fully engaged in preseason. There's a slight look. It doesn't happen for everyone, so maybe that rules it out as being a contributing factor. But something wasn't right with him. Yeah, to start the season, he just wasn't himself. Things. He definitely wasn't the guy who was. You don't think he was complacent after getting a contract, but maybe there was concerns, and I had those concerns that maybe he'd slipped. Maybe he was beginning the decline. Got it back going today, so we're all pretty happy with that. If we are Marc Gasol owners. The waiver wire line of the night goes to another international European big man, and that is Alex Len of the Phoenix Suns. He started in place of Tyson Chandler for the second consecutive game. 35 minutes for Len, 13 and 14, 2 steals and 3 blocks on really good percentages. And you would have heard me hopefully talk about Alex Len if you listened to the podcast in the offseason, which I know not as many of you listen in the offseason as what do now. But I was massive on Alex Len before the Tyson Chandler signing came. I was big on him, and I was pissed when Chandler got signed. So you're taking away Len's minutes. You're taking away his development. I don't think that this means much, though, for this season. That's what I'm trying to get at. Like, I love Len for 2 years' time. I think he's going to be a really good fantasy guy, a double-double player, a big blocks guy, an elite percentages, both percentages guy. I think he can be that. And I think this line we saw here is not going to be something that is a one-off thing for him in his career. But when Chandler comes back, he's going to take minutes back off Lynn. Now, I'll put the caveat out there. Chandler's been bad. Like, he's been really bad. And yes, the Suns signed him to a four-year, $48 million contract. But does that prohibit them from benching him? I say that, in general, you would say, yeah, probably. But given that the worst free agent center contract was handed out to Omer Asik and he's already been benched, the Suns get a little bit of a pass, giving less years and less money compared to what the Pelicans gave Asik. And that it was horrible at the time, and it's absolutely horrific now, that Omer Asik contract. So what I'm trying to say is that benching Chandler compared to benching Asik doesn't even look half as bad. Maybe that's what happens. I still don't believe it, because Hornacek had been running such a small ball lineup a lot of the season. So I don't think Len's going to, even if he starts over Chandler, he's going to play 35 minutes. He might play 25 and Chandler might play 18. And then Markieff Morris and John Lua, who's garbage, by the way, and he shouldn't be getting minutes, but he is. And Mirza Cilicic will still get minutes there as well. So I'm not running to go and grab Alex Len in 12-team leagues. If I've got a streaming spot, I'm okay with looking at it, because it is a back-to-back here and we don't know if Chandler's going to play on Wednesday. So he might get one more decent game out of Len. But remember, in the game before, he put up 28 points and was nowhere near as active with the defensive stats. He, in general, is a pretty good defensive stats guy, so maybe that game was the anomaly. But I don't think we see this sort of sustained production from Alex Len moving forward. Stream him in for tomorrow. No doubt. If you've got a streaming spot, add him, see what happens. Chandler might be back. We'll see. But Alex Len, this is forward thinking to me for, not forward thinking, that's the wrong term. It's me looking forward to for keeper leagues in 2 years' time, maybe even next year. Alex Len is going to be a top 100 player. I am fairly confident of that. I like what he's been able to do. I like what he did last season. His per 36 numbers are pretty impressive. 12.5 and 12. 1.5 steals, 1.5 blocks, 47 and 70. He can be that sort of guy. That's not out of his reach. The injuries always have been a concern with him, but if he's healthy, I do like him for the future. I don't like him as a guy that I'm adding for as a core piece for my team for this season, though. I just don't know if there's much. Hope for him to continue to do, more put up lines like he did here. I feel it's a little bit limited. The young gun of the night is Jeremy Grant in Philadelphia. He played 31 minutes, 14 and 7, 4 assists, a steal, 4 blocks, 6 of 7 from the field, and he hit both his free throws. We knew that he was a very active player. He was a guy who could go ahead and get a stack of blocks. But what he's done this year, which has been impressive, is he's improved his shooting a lot. He's taken his field goal percentage up from 35 to 43. That's big. His free throws up from 59 to 73. That's bigger. He's still struggling with his threes, hitting only 21% of those. But he's giving you half a three a game. He's giving you 5 rebounds. He's giving you 2 blocks. Now, that's probably worth looking at in 12-team leagues. The important thing also to look at here is that he played 31 minutes starting. Nerlens Noel played off the bench, and Noel played 26 minutes. You would think that Noel would jump back into the starting lineup and those minutes would probably switch around, but I can't see Grant getting less than 27 minutes a game this year. I can see him being that primary backup 3 and 4 behind Robert Covington and behind Nerlens Noel. And I think that he will have some sort of continued value. I don't think that I'm looking at him in 10-team. I know that I'm not looking at him in 10-team leagues. Maybe a streaming option guy for some blocks. But 12-team leagues, he's putting up top 120 value. He's worked to improve his percentages. He's blocking shots. And he can actually play. So there is a little bit to like about Jeremy Grant, definitely, this year. But the positional squeeze, the minute squeeze, is something that is concerning with Robert Covington and Nerlens Noel playing the two positions that he plays. But still, a pretty impressive night from Jeremy Grant. So a lot of people would have been rapt to see what he was able to do. So there are a lot of Jeremy Grant fans around, which may surprise a lot of people. The dud of the night, Thad Young of the Brooklyn Nets. Not his greatest performance. He's been awesome this year, though. 36 minutes for Thad, 8 and 4 with 2 assists. 3 of 14 from the field is terrible. 1 of 2 from the free throw line is also not good. We don't need to be too worried about Thad. He's been putting up top 60 value, 15 and 8.5, 1.5 steals, 52% from the field. Not hitting threes, though, which is weird because he was a guy that in Philadelphia in 2013-14, he hit over a three a game. He was a 2-steal, 1-3 a game guy. The threes just aren't there for him this season. He's only hitting 10% of them. He's only taking 0.6. So it's just obviously something that Lionel Hollins doesn't want to do. So I don't expect it to really change too much. But he's going to be a points and rebounds guy. He's going to be an awesome steals player as a power forward. And he's going to be a pretty high field goal percentage guy. So if you own him, let's not be worried whatsoever about that sort of performance. The DFS value player that I should have mentioned, that was Alex Leonard again at 3,500 minimum salary. He put up 38.8. So hopefully you're able to put him in your lineup. I didn't put him in my lineup because I had Marc Gasol playing center and I was still pretty happy with what Marc Gasol gave me at the center position. So no complaints there for me. All right, before we move into look at the box scores in a little bit more detail, just a quick word from one of our sponsors, and that is No Halftime. It is an app for your iOS device. Download the app from the App Store and use the promo code DUNK for $25 free. So with No Halftime, you're staring at your weekly fantasy opponent. You're thinking to yourself, I would love to challenge just one of his players and not his entire team. But no other app allows you to do that until now with No Halftime. It allows you to create these individual challenges using players or teams. You can put whoever you want up against whoever you want. You can put Jeremy Grant up against Alex Len. I'd probably take the Grant side of that. You can take Kristaps Porzingis and Karl Anthony Towns. You can take Kent Bazemore versus Will Barton. And you can see who's going to put up the most points on a daily basis. It takes seconds to create a challenge. It takes seconds to accept a challenge. You can do it in all sports, not just NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, NHL, college football, college basketball, and other sports on there. Win yourself real money real quick. Get yourself that free bonus as well, the sign-up bonus, and as well as giving yourself $25, which is a pretty good deal. You help the podcast to attract other sponsors as well by showing them that you can... That you support us and that you support them and you like free money as well. So use that promo code DUNK when you download the No Halftime app. Get involved with No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break. Sure doesn't. Let's get into these box scores now and let's see exactly what went down in the NBA today. Okay, there we go. The first game of the night was a blockbuster, and I am half joking when I say that, but it was good for the Sixers to get that victory. They should have got the victory. The Lakers are terrible. The Sixers had been playing well, relatively well, in comparison leading up to this game, and they got the win that they thoroughly deserved. On the Lakers side of things, it was good to see big minutes from Jordan Clarkson, 19 and 5 in 38 minutes, and Roy Hibbert had 2 blocks and 10 rebounds in 33 minutes. I'm glad to see Roy Hibbert getting big minutes as well, because there's really nobody on this team who should be taking minutes away from Hibbert. Julius Randle had a low-end double-double, 12 and 11, while D'Angelo Russell also played big minutes, which is great as well. 37 minutes for him, 12, 4 and 4, not an awesome line, but the minutes are definitely trending in the right direction, so that means that I want to own D'Angelo Russell in 12-team leagues. Kobe Bryant, just brutal, brutal shooting. Yes, his farewell tour has continued, but he hasn't improved his shooting ability. 7 of 26 from the field, 2 of 4 from the free throw line, 4 of 17 from 3. He took 17 three-point shots. That should be illegal. That is horrific. Absolutely horrible. And he is the reason they're going to lose a lot of games this season. This takes nothing away from his career, but this has been horrible. 20 points, 4 threes, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. If you're punting free throw percentage, that's still really good. And DFS, he had a pretty decent game today. But overall contribution to a basketball team, I haven't looked it up. Maybe I'll look it up now. His PER must be so, so low. And I know that's not the be-all and end-all of a basketball player's ability. But his contribution in those sort of categories must be absolutely horrific. I'm going to look it up now. As we talk, let's have a look. Kobe Bean Bryant, where are we? PER, 9.9. Pretty bad. It's not good at all. What about his, he's got negative box score plus minus and minus 5.4, negative win shares, value VORP is bad. He's got a usage of 30%, which is very, very high for a PER of 9.9. He is just absolutely murdering this team. I think that's fair to say. He is killing them. And, hey, maybe it's part of the plan. Kobe, be bad so we keep our top three pick, because they're bad. He is bad. But he still has fantasy value because he played 32 minutes and he had 20 and 5 with 4 threes. And that can be useful in a punt free throw format. You can't own him in Roto, and you can't own him if you're not punting free throw, because, well, that's not true. If you're not punting free throws and you own him, I've got news for you. You are punting free throws. So that becomes your new strategy. On to the Sixers. Bob Cove, 23, 5, and 4 with 5 triples and 2 blocks. He's pretty good, and I'm glad that everybody... Well, no, I'm not going to say I'm glad. I hope everybody held on to him through the early part of the season. Or if you didn't, you swooped in and grabbed him, because he's been superb since coming back. Isaiah Cannon had another big line as a starter, 12, 3, and 5 with 4 triples. He has value, low-end 12 team. And TJ McConnell's minutes went down again, down to 21. 7, 5, and 6 with 2 steals and a 3, though. So that's not terrible. And it remains basically what it was before, that he's going to give you assists, nice steals, and above-average rebounds. He's two-thirds of a Rajon Rondo at this point. But Tony Roten apparently is coming back on this weekend. And I know some of you listeners love Tony Roten. But I've no idea why, because he is horrible to play. He's horrible to watch play. Yes, he can rack up counting stats. But to me, he fits into that category of guys like Kent Bazemore and Will Barton that... Yeah, if they get minutes, they're really fantasy valuable. But the fact that they're just so bad means that at some point it's going to limit their minutes. And I can't see Roten cutting into Isaiah Cannon's minutes. I can't see him taking 30 minutes in place of TJ. McConnell's minutes will have to come down. Cannon's will reduce a bit. Phil Pressey will be out of the rotation. But I can't see Roten coming in and going, yep, I'm Tony Roten, I'm playing 28 minutes, because he's just not good. He's just really, really bad. And when Kendall Marshall comes back, he should be the guy who's taking over, you know, those 25 to 30 minutes as a starting point guard. And he can play alongside Isaiah Cannon, because they are very, very different players. I'm not adding Tony Roten in any leagues. You can't add him in Roto leagues. You need to be punting percentages and turnovers in head-to-head leagues, which you can do. But that's if you believe he's going to get 30 minutes a night, or 20, and he needs big minutes a night to be productive, then you can look at him. But he has to jump over TJ McConnell. He has to jump over Isaiah Cannon. And yes, both those guys will come down, but I don't think Roten becomes the number one guy there. Jahlil Okafor struggled, 12 and 5 with a block. He's on a real cold stretch at the moment. And Nerlens Noel, I touched on him before, 14 and 9 with 3 assists and a steal in 26 minutes. So he looked pretty good in this game. Hopefully he gets back up to 31 or 32 minutes. If someone dropped him, you absolutely have to own him, because he has amazing potential, especially in those defensive categories. And it's been a rough ride, but it's been a rough ride for a number of players so far in the early parts of this season. And they do, if they're good players, which I think Noel is, they do tend to turn it around. And maybe the knee was just bothering him that much that it was causing that sort of problem. Who knows? I guess we'll find out soon. The Washington Wizards and the Cleveland Cavaliers, big, big win for the Wizards. They really needed that. And this was something I hypothesized about yesterday, that without Gary Neal, yeah, John Wall and Brad Beal were going to have to play huge minutes. And John Wall went crazy. 41 minutes, 35 and 4 and 10, 3 threes, 5 steals, good percentages. Is he back? Don't know, but I wasn't buying the talk of him being a player outside the top 50. This is what we know he can do. He was in a huge slump, no doubt. But the minutes helped here against a good team, the Cavs. Really nice performance from John Wall. Beal as well, 18, 9, and 6 with a 3 and a steal. Not as good with him shooting the ball, but his counting stats were fairly good. And Marcin Gortat is really getting back on track as well. 15 and 11 with 4 blocks in 33 minutes. Jared Dudley started at power forward again. 32 minutes for him, 12, 2, and 3 with a couple of 3-pointers. He's probably only a 14-team league at the moment, and they are without Nene and Drew Gooden, so there are a couple of guys who would eat slightly into Dudley's minutes, but Chris Humphries only got 9 minutes here. He's been a better player than Humphries has this season, and so I don't mind adding Jared Dudley. He can be a pretty decent high field goal percentage 3-point shooter, and they're not that easy to find, those guys. So Jared Dudley is not a player that I hate for people to own in those deeper 12-team formats. Otto Porter also played 42 minutes, wasn't his best night, 6, 5, and 2 with a block, but he remains a must-own option. The Cleveland Cavaliers, they'd be pretty disappointed with that loss. Timofey Mozgov continues to really struggle. 9 minutes for Mozgov, 0 points and 2 rebounds. Hopefully you're still not holding him in 12-team leagues. Tristan Thompson played 27 and he got 11 boards, and that's all that he can really do. He had no other stats apart from the 6 points, so I don't think we need to be too concerned about Tristan Thompson in most formats. Kevin Love, not a good night. 8-8 in 33 minutes, 2 of 10. And LeBron, 24 and 13 with a steal and a block. I had someone tweet me a question today about a trade, and they would be giving up... What were they doing? They were offered Kyrie in exchange for Kevin Love. And I think that when both guys are... When Irving's back, Irving is going to be clearly the better fantasy player. That's what my opinion is. Love is going to take a dip. He's not going to be quite as... He's still going to be really good. He's just not going to be quite as good as what he is now when Irving comes back. Mo Williams was solid, 12-3-3 in 28 minutes, and J.R. Smith continues to get big run, 36 for him, 13-4-3 with 2 steals and 3 threes. He's a must-own player despite shooting 3 of 14. And Matthew Dellavedova had a pretty decent shooting night, going 5 of 9 for 15 points with 3 threes and 2 steals. Dally is still just a deep league option. The next game is the Phoenix Suns and the Brooklyn Nets. Brandon Knight had a field day, as well as Alex Len, 26 and 7 with 4 assists and 3 threes, while Eric Bledsoe went 17-2 and 7 with 4 steals. So good nights from their two guards. TJ Warren, who'd been riding a real hot streak, struggled mightily, only 6 points in 19 minutes with 2 steals. If you added him, don't necessarily just drop him after this, because PJ Tucker played 31 minutes but wasn't good, 9 points and 3 rebounds. So you'd think that Warren would go back after some decent minutes. And Markieff Morris continues to stink. I understand the temptation to drop him. I still am not doing it just yet. 28 minutes for him, 6 points and 3 assists. His shot has just been really, really off, but I can completely understand the thought of dropping him. Mirza Cvetkovic hit 4 threes for 12 points. He's a great 3-point streaming option, and that's really about it. Onto the Nets, Shane Larkin. 30 minutes for Larkin, 11 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, a block, and a 3. That's a very, very good line. And he'd been putting up 12-team league value over the last couple of weeks anyway. Does he take the starting job off Jarrett Jack? There's a possibility. I just don't think that he's all that good. I'm not adding him and hoping for a stash. I'm not adding him and hoping for him to become the starter. You can almost own him in his own right. Definitely in 14-team leagues you can. In a deeper 12, maybe. It's a really good line. I just don't buy it as a consistent line. Jarrett Jack had 11, 4, and 8 with 3 steals of his own, so he was almost as good as Shane Larkin. So, again, it's not like Jack was terrible or Jack got injured or anything like that. They just played next to each other a little bit, which I don't hate, and some interesting minutes there. Now, there was the rumor that came out that Ty Lawson was rumored to be traded to the Nets in exchange for Bojan Bogdanović, I think was the rumor that I saw today. That would be really interesting if that went down, because Lawson would have to usurp the minutes off Jack and Larkin, unless Lawson's just completely crap now, which is possible, but I don't think that he's completely crap. Joe Johnson, 9 points, but 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals. Not a horrible outing from him. Brook Lopez went 23 and 6, and Rondé Hollis-Jefferson, no steals, which is sort of what you owned him for, but he got 9 boards, and he only played 23 minutes because Lionel Hollins, he's doing Lionel Hollins-y things, and that's it. That equals annoying me. Wayne Ellington played 20 minutes. Don't really know why. 11 points for him with 2 steals. And Bojan Bogdanović went 7-7 in his 18 minutes. Good to see Markel Brown get 2 seconds of court time as well. Good on you, Lionel. That one makes a real lot of sense. So lucky you got him out there for those 2 seconds. The Memphis Grizzlies and the New Orleans Pelicans. Mario Chalmers had a pretty decent night, 11-4-4. But by now, you're probably sick of hearing my thoughts on him. Matt Barnes, 13-6-3 in 27 minutes. This is 14-team league value. This is 12-team league value for Matt Barnes, even with Zebo back. Zebo had 14 and 6 and nothing else. Mike Conley really, really stunk after a hot streak of games, 11-2-3 in 24 minutes. Just did not get it going at all, so that allowed Chalmers to play those 24 minutes. Courtney Lee, 13-4 in 34 minutes. We don't rely on him. We don't rely on Tony Allen anymore. Only 15 minutes for him, and I think that's probably fair enough with Barnes, who can play some of that defensive role that Allen played. And Jeff Green played 31 minutes, and he is just not a good player. Even in 31 minutes, he only had 6 points and 4 rebounds. He's not a must-own 12-team league player. I think the best thing we... Not best. Let's rephrase that. The most interesting thing to come out of this game was the New Orleans Pelicans. And I'm buggered if I know what to make of it, really. Tyreke Evans and Norris Cole are going to be back. They're going to be a little bit limited. Next minute, Tyreke Evans plays 31 minutes and goes 25 and 10 with 2 threes and a block. That's peak form mid-season Tyreke Evans. Wasn't limited. you obviously have to own Tyreke Evans. It's pretty straightforward. He's awesome. He's really good. You have to own him. It's a no-brainer. And you should, if you listen to this podcast, you're aware of that. Anthony Davis, 17 and 14 with 9 blocks, 2 steals and a 3. So a pretty good night for him, apart from the percentages, which were unusually brutal. 4 of 15 from the field, 8 of 13 from the free throw line. Not good there. He was 100% from 3, but yuck. Still almost a triple-double there. Drew Holiday, 12 points, 4 assists in his 26 minutes. And I've got an issue here with the Pelicans because I love the fact that they moved Omer Asik to the bench and played him 5 minutes and Alexei Ginsa into the starting lineup. And Ginsa played 13 minutes, and that's because of foul trouble. But he flashed his per-minute potential, 10-3 in just 13 minutes. If we knew that he was locking in at 30 minutes a night, which we've got no way of knowing that, and I don't think it happens, he's a must-own player at those minutes. Even at 25 to 26 minutes, Alexei Ginsa can be a high-performing fantasy player. We need to watch this space. My issue is the Pelicans here. Okay, so Eric Gordon moved to the bench. He went from playing like 34 minutes a game, he played 20 here. 8 points, 4 assists, and a block. The guy had been almost carrying their team before Evans came back. And we're going to move him to the bench so we've got more scoring in our second unit. That's cool. So why move Omer Asik to your second unit? Because you don't get any scoring out of him. And I don't care if you move Eric Gordon to your second unit, but don't play him less minutes than Norris Cole. Don't. Norris Cole's terrible. He's terrible. And the fact that Norris Cole played 23 minutes, Ish Smith played 14 minutes, and Eric Gordon played 20 minutes is disgraceful rotation management to me. A guy coming back in his first game of the season, Norris Cole, he's not good, he's underdone, and you're playing more than two guys who have been carrying your team and actually keeping your team in games, and that's Gordon and Smith. I bug it if I know what it means. Now, tomorrow we might see something completely different. If I own Ish Smith, I am real scared. If I own Eric Gordon, I'm real scared. And I don't know why I should be. I shouldn't be scared of Eric Gordon because this is out of the blue and it's brutal and it makes no sense. Let's see what tomorrow brings. Let's see what the game on Friday brings. But if this rotation holds true, Smith's gone. Forget about it. And Eric Gordon might be gone if he's playing less than 20 minutes a game. It makes no sense though. Let's see how. I understand. I understand people moving to the bench, you know, to inject scoring into the second unit. I understand the theory behind that. But say Orlando, who we'll get to later, Oladipo moves to the bench, you know, for a guy in the second unit. He plays half his time with the first unit anyway, so what's the difference? I don't get that, but it's fine if he plays 30 minutes. But why put Gordon on the bench? You aren't moving him to the bench to play him with the second unit. You're moving him to the bench because you think he's not good and you're reducing his minutes. Because that's when you play 19 minutes 30, that's not, we're just trying to stagger rotations. That's just like, I'm just not giving you minutes. And that's bothersome to me. Especially when Norris Cole's getting that and came back and went 11-2-2 on 3 of 12 shooting and 3 of 6 from the line. He's just not good. Let's see how it plays out though. Shitting myself if I own Smith. Well, I shouldn't say that because you got Ish Smith for nothing. He was putting up big numbers. And if you have to cut him, whatever. You didn't invest a high pick on him. Gordon, you invested maybe not a high pick, but one of your last 4 picks. And again, you shouldn't be too bothered, but it's more, where's the common sense, Gentry? What are you doing? I want to know one person who thinks Norris Cole is a better player than Eric Gordon. Is there anyone who thinks it? If you're listening and you think that Norris Cole is a better player than Eric Gordon, I'd like to know because I'd like to have a debate with you about why you think that is. Maybe Alvin Gentry is listening. Maybe he wants to have a debate with me about why Norris Cole should play 23 minutes. When you've got Drew Holiday, you've got Ish Smith, and you've got Tyreke Evans, you can all play point guard. Anyway, that's my mini Pelicans rant there. What we take out of it is Tyreke Evans needs to be owned, and let's just hold off with Smith and see what happens. I forgot to even mention that Lonzo G played 28 minutes, and he does nothing. Whenever he plays, he does nothing. 6 points, 1 rebound. They're obviously still missing Quincy Pondexter, and he should slot into that G role, but G is just, he's not. He doesn't provide anything offensively. He's an okay defender, but he's not an awesome lockdown defender or anything like that. I don't get the appeal of Alonzo G in the starting lineup and playing 26 minutes. His defense has been okay. It's okay. It's pretty good. I'll give you that. But it doesn't make a huge amount of sense to me. Well, he has no... from our perspective, he has no fantasy value. What he does is takes away minutes from guys like Gordon. It's pretty exciting, though, to see Tyreke Evans back, especially if you did draft him. The payoff immediate. I wouldn't expect him to go out and go 25 and 10 in the next game on a back-to-back and him to play 31 minutes. I think that's probably pushing it. But he was back to his best almost straight away. So that is that's awesome. It's awesome for Tyreke Evans. It's awesome for the Pelicans, who are a pretty likable team, apart from the way their medical staff handle things. The Orlando Magic and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Talked about Victor Oladipo off the bench again. A really full stat line. 13, 4, and 4. 3 steals. 2 blocks. Only in 28 minutes. I want him to get more minutes than that. Nick Vucevic, the Scott Skiles rollercoaster continues. We're at the peak here. 37 minutes for Vucevic, 18 and 12 with 2 steals and a block. This is Vucevic's potential. The only thing holding back his potential is his coach. And that's something we're going to have to deal with pretty much all season. Evan Fournier back to 28 minutes here, 12 and 3. So from 38 minutes, he's down to that sort of high 20s to early 30s minutes wise, and that's fine. That's still ownable. Lord Alfred Payton, 14, 8 and 5. Toby Harris, 13 and 4. Solid numbers there. And Channing Frye starting again and playing 17 minutes. The big surprise here to me is Andrew Nicholson, who's really, really thriving in minutes. 15 and 6 in 31 minutes, and that's probably the key, that he played 31 minutes. Now, it is Scott Skiles, so we can't rely upon the minutes, but he's averaging 26 across his last 4, 10 and 6. With 1.3 blocks. It is probably 14 team leagues where we need to look at Andrew Nicholson. I'm not adding him in 12 team leagues unless you think he's going to get 30 minutes a night off the bench. I don't really believe. I don't like living in a world where Andrew Nicholson plays 31 minutes and Victor Oladipo plays 28. That doesn't make much sense to me. Nicholson, I think we've seen who he is, and he'll have stretches like this. I'm not going and grabbing him and thinking this is going to be something that holds true for most of the season. On to the Timberwolves. What the hell is going on with this team? What's happening with the center position? Gorgui Dieng is showing why I was clamoring on at the start of the season about why he needs to play. I gave up. I said, they're not playing him. They don't believe in playing him. They're not going to play him next to Towns. Someone must have given Sam Mitchell the link to the podcast and he listened. He went, oh, maybe I'll try Dieng and Towns together. Dieng's bloody good. And he's more than bloody good. He's very good. 11 and 7 for Dieng here. A steal, 3 blocks. He played 29 minutes. Towns played just 22 and went 6 and 6 with a steal and 2 blocks. These guys should play 30 minutes each. Play them next to each other. I don't need to see 30 minutes of Tayshaun Prince. I need to see Towns and Dieng playing together as your core. Towns is in a massive slump. If you can buy real low on Towns, this is the time to do it. And Dieng, for now, add him. Go and add him in 12-team leagues. Because maybe Mitchell's realized that he needs to play 29 to 30 minutes a game. And he can be really good. He can be a good defender. He can be a decent shooter. He can be a good offensive threat. He needs to play. And the light bulb sort of is coming on for him in that respect. Well, not for him, for Sam Mitchell. So the trend is happening. Let's go and add Gorgui Dieng again. And if you held on to him, congratulations, because you were braver than me. Andrew Wiggins, 27 points with 4 rebounds, 2 assists and a block. Okay, night there. Ricky Rubio returned, played just 27 minutes. 3, 5 and 3, missed all 5 of his field goal attempts. Did add 3 steals in. If I own him, I own him in specific situations, which I do. So I'm not too concerned. I think the minutes will go back up to 30. The steals are good. The assists will be there. I don't care about his lack of points or his field goal percentage. Zach LaVine still got 29 minutes, 12, 5, and 5 with a steal and a block, while Kevin Martin played 23. Zach LaVine is a guy you must own in 12-team leagues. He'll play backup point. He's going to play backup two guard. He's going to be the sixth man. He has to be owned, and he's going to get more minutes than Martin for the rest of the season. I'm pretty confident. Kevin Garnett went 4 and 8 with 3 blocks in 20 minutes. Nemanja Bjelica, triple one for him, 3 points and 8 rebounds. There's no point in owning Bjelica in 12-team leagues to me. You might have an argument for me, but I don't buy it. Kevin Martin had 16 points and nothing else in 23 minutes, so it's hard for me to think of him as a 12-team league guy. The Dallas Mavericks and the Portland Trailblazers. Wow. Darren Williams. I was probably higher on Darren Williams than anyone in the offseason. I've got him on an inexplicable amount of my fantasy teams. 45 minutes for Darren in the overtime game, 36 and 8, 2 threes, 2 blocks. He's not going to be this good every game, but he's been fantastic this season. There's no doubting that. And even I had no idea that he would be as effective as what he has been. Dirk had 28, 7, and 6 with a couple of threes. A good night from Dirk. And what about Zaza Pachulia? 14 and 21 with a steal and a block. I banged on about him at the start of the season that he was must-own. You obviously know that he's must-own now. Wes Matthews played 40 minutes. The minutes restrictions are done for him, I would say. 18 and 5 with two steals and three threes. If he's on a waiver wire, you can definitely look at adding him. Chandler Parsons did not play in this one, as it was the back-to-back set. Ray Felton played 40 minutes. That's a lot of minutes for Ray Felton. 9 points, 2 rebounds, 5 assists, and a steal. So he's taken all of Parsons' minutes and most of JJ Barea's minutes there as well. They do not want to extend Devin Harris. He just will only play that 23-minute role, and that's fine. You know that when there's minutes coming up, it's going to go to Ray Felton. Dwight Powell played 13 minutes in this game, and JaVale McGee didn't see the court. So Dwight Powell's 12-team league value is in the toilet. The Portland Trailblazers, Damian Lillard, kept his consecutive game streak going, played 41 minutes, went 25, 8, and 10, so you're really happy as a Lillard owner. You're not so happy as a CJ McCollum owner because he shot 4 of 21. That's Kobe-esque. 11 points, 3 threes, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, and a steal, though, is nice. But the story from this is Myers Leonard to me. He played 32 minutes off the bench, 23 and 7 with 4 threes and a steal. You know that I've been talking about Myers Leonard a lot this preseason, during the season. He has to be owned. Noel Vonleh started, played 6 minutes. He's crap, Noel Vonleh. He might be good in 2 years' time, but he's not good now. Mason Plumlee, limited again. Low minutes again. Mentioned it on yesterday's podcast, and someone said, it's because he's been in foul trouble. He wasn't in foul trouble here. I don't really know. Look, Myers Leonard was playing well, but Leonard and Plumlee should be the guys playing together. Ed Davis was pretty good also. 32 minutes, 10 and 11. He's a borderline 12-team league guy. No, that's not true. He's ownable in a few team builds, but not every team build. 10 and 11 for him is a nice night. Al-Farouq Aminu just massively struggling. 18 minutes for him, 0 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. Not great from Al-Farouq. What do you do if you own Al-Farouq Aminu? Because his last 2 weeks, he's ranked just inside the top 250. 7.6 points, which is bad. A 3, which is all right. 8 rebounds, which is good. But shooting 26%, 71% from the line, just a whole bunch of badness. He can't get a steal or a block a game, which is something we thought he'd be able to do. It's just not happening for him at the moment. He is barely holding on to top 150 value for the season in 31 minutes. The minutes are trending down. The play is trending down. I'm okay with dropping Al-Farouq Aminu in 10-team leagues, definitely. 12-team leagues, it depends on who I'm adding. But with guys like Mo Harkless there, Gerald Henderson, and Alan Crabb, who played fantastically here, 35 minutes for Crabb for 18 points and 3 threes, the Blazers have other options at the 3 who are okay players. Now, Harkless is a good player, I think is underrated. You know, Crabb is showing a lot more than I thought that he could offer. Aminu doesn't feel safe to me. He doesn't feel like a safe, locked-in 30 minutes a night guy. He probably will get back to that, but he doesn't feel safe now, so I am okay with dropping Al-Farouq Aminu in shallower formats. All right, that is it for the Tuesday recap part of the podcast. Let's take a quick break now, then we'll be back to look at Wednesday's DFS action. I saw ya! Wednesday's action. This is a beautiful Wednesday slate of games. 9 games. That's all. Not this 12 bullshit, not 13, 9. It's a really good number. I've said it before. This is the perfect spot. DFS, 6 to 9 games a night is exactly where you want to be. The first game of the night, the Los Angeles Lakers and the Washington Wizards are back-to-back for the Lakers. We don't know the status of those three Wizards that missed today's game. Gary Neal, Nene, and Drew Gooden. And obviously, if Gary Neal's out, we're going to see minutes again for John Wall and Brad Beal go through the roof. John Wall is a really good play here, I think. He'd been struggling a lot. This was his best game of the season that he just put up today. But at 8,100 against the Lakers, and if Gary Neal is out, I love it. I love it for John Wall. There's definite value there. Now, I understand being hesitant with it, but I think that he can tear them apart. I think Marcin Gortat at 5,900 is also really solid. He's been putting together a nice run of minutes, and against the Lakers, again, I'm going to keep using that phrase, against the Lakers, you have to love what he's going to be able to do. Jared Dudley is also a punt option, 3,700. If he gives you 20 fantasy points, you're in, you've made the money. That's where he needs to be. He put up 17 today. He's averaging 19 over his last three, so he's right there. Does the Lakers give him a boost? There's a possibility of that. And Brad Beal at 7,000, almost 39 today. We've got him projected currently at 36 minutes, but that could bump to 40 if Gary Neal's out. The same thing goes with John Wall. So both those guys could get a boost to their value if we find out that Gary Neal's... It's amazing how much impact Gary Neal has, but if Neal is out, those guys get a bump. The other guy who gets a bump in that situation is Garrett Temple. He's a minimum salary guy, though. I'm not looking at rostering him. Kobe Bryant was a guy that I did mention yesterday at 6,700. He's not horrible. We need to know that he's playing first. You would think that he is in the only time that he's visiting Washington this season. He put up 28 points yesterday at 6,700. It's still probably not exactly where you want it to be, but he's not horrific. He started off red hot as well. D'Angelo Russell, I like. The minutes are right there for him. He's at 5,100. That's not expensive. I think that he's an okay guy to have a look at. Jordan Clarkson at 6,100 is also pretty solid. I don't mind spending that extra 1,000 on Jordan Clarkson. And Julius Randle at 5,900, not too bad. I can definitely get behind it, but it's not a good matchup for power forwards against the Wizards. They are able to reduce their fantasy output. Jared Dudley on Julius Randle, maybe not the best matchup. Dudley's not a bad defender, but coming off back surgery, maybe Randle is a little bit too athletic for him. Otto Porter's been struggling, so I'm not even willing to spend 5,400 on him. And not much else to really cover, I think, in that game. I think we're pretty much done with that one. The next game is the Golden State Warriors and the Charlotte Hornets. Steph Curry returns home. The Warriors are favored by 9.5. The total is 212. Both these teams with high octane offenses. And what a stupid statement that is when we're talking about the Charlotte Hornets. But they are. There is no Al Jefferson for the next 2 weeks. And we know that Cody Zeller is going to start. I've been banging Cody Zeller bandwagon for 2 years now that this guy can produce fantasy numbers when given big minutes. Now, I don't necessarily think he's going to get 35 minutes a night here. But you would hope that he would get 25 plus. And at 3,600, it's hard to resist using him. I'm going to find it real tough to not put Cody Zeller into a lineup. Marvin Williams at 5,000 should also get a bump. Maybe getting a few more rebounds with Zeller in the lineup. At 5,000, that's not an expensive price. A couple of guys, well, Klay Thompson at 5,900, it's tough to avoid him as well. 3,300 in the last game, we saw him getting his stride back. This game might be closer than people anticipate, so Klay is an okay guy to have a look at. Kemba Walker's been playing a stack of minutes. At 8,200 though, it's pretty expensive. He needs to go for 40 points. Maybe he tries to show up Steph Curry. That probably doesn't end well for him though. Nick Batum at 6,900. Nah, don't love it, I don't think. And Jeremy Lamb at 4,700. If he was $500 cheaper, I think that I could get a little bit more behind using Jeremy Lamb there. But the Warriors do allow opposition shooting guards to have pretty decent nights. So Lamb is someone that you might be able to consider. Draymond Green at 8,200, probably not, but it's not too bad. And Steph Curry at 10,900, I think that he's going to want to put in a huge performance here. That salary is high, but I reckon that you might be able to get 50 back off him, relatively comfortable. In his old hometown, against his dad's former team, we know that Steph Curry's definitely got a sense for the occasion, and this could be a pretty big night for Steph Curry. So, unless he just goes off and then doesn't play the last quarter, there's always a possibility of that with him. otherwise, I think that spending up for Steph Curry is not a bad way to go. Phoenix and Detroit is up next. The Pistons are favored by 4. The total is 202 points. Tyson Chandler, we do not know if he is going to play at this point without hamstring problem. It probably seems a bit unlikely. I would think it's unlikely, but what do I know? I'm not a doctor. That would mean we're going to get more Alex Len. Do we get enough Alex Len for us to think that we need to? Do we need to own him in DFS? Minimum salary, why not? Why not? He put up almost 40 today. I think that you have to look at him if we know that Chandler is out. I think another guy we have to look at, regardless of Tyson Chandler status, because it doesn't impact him, is Stanley Johnson of the Detroit Pistons. Minutes are trending up. He put up 38 in the last game. He's 3,600, another minimum salary guy that you can put in to allow you to put guys like Steph Curry in and a guy like Anthony Davis, who's coming up later. There's these minimum salary guys who can go big, big time, and the trend is heading in the right direction for Stanley Johnson. Also, the Suns allow a lot of points to small forwards, so he's in a good spot. Marcus Morris is also in a pretty good spot, although he has been struggling. I would rather spend the $2,000 less and put Stanley in there, to be honest. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is going to be low-owned. He was a stinker in the last game the Pistons played. At $5,000, though, I think that he can have a game with the hit where he returns value. Reggie Jackson at $7,400, that is not an expensive price for Reggie Jackson. He's averaging 36 in those last three games. I'm definitely okay with using him here. Markieff Morris, it's just tough at the moment to bother with him. Same with Ersan Ilyasova. Andre Drummond is an intriguing play here to me. At $9,400, he had a massive game in the last one. I think that he's in a pretty good spot here. He can put up some nice numbers. And Brandon Knight is now up to $7,900. That feels too expensive for me, so I'd probably be leaning clear of Brandon Knight. And Eric Bledsoe at $8,700. I don't know if this is necessarily... It's not a good matchup for Bledsoe with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope playing on him. TJ Warren's a punt option. He sucked today, but he'd been awesome the games before that. $4,400 is not expensive, but the Pistons do shut down those opposition wing players at a fairly decent rate, so we can just be a little bit hesitant about using TJ Warren, especially in a cash game situation. The Philadelphia 76ers are up next. They take on the New York Knicks, fresh off their first victory of the season. Carmelo Anthony, you'd think he's going to play. He's dealt with an illness and missed that game in Houston at $8,700, even though the blowout factor is not too bad in this one. Maybe the Sixers are on a roll. The Knicks are favored by 9. That's a low total of 192, but I do like Anthony at $8,700. I think that he can put up enough value to return that salary. The other guy I like is Kristaps
Porzingis.
Porzingis is priced at $7,200. I love it. I love it. Kristaps could just destroy this team. They let opposition power forwards do almost whatever they want. This is a great spot for Kristaps Porzingis. Porzingis, you know what I mean. And if anyone doesn't know that, I don't actually think his name is Porzingis. I'm just taking the piss of Stephen A. Smith. Actually, I'll refer to Stephen A. Smith from now on as just Steve Smith. The A is too pretentious for me. Kevin Serafin at $3,800. He was massive in the last game. Robin Lopez does not have the trust of Derek Fisher. Serafin is trending upwards, so he is a punt option at center at $3,800. Jose Calderon, even though the price is cheap, I don't really think I love it all that much. Nerlens Noel at $6,300. That price is down. It's not that high. He looked pretty good today. He put up 28 points. I think I'd still steer clear of him. $4,400 for Isaiah Cannon is worth a look. And Jahlil Okafor is definitely in a little bit of a slump as well. At $6,400, we can avoid him. And let's please not buy into Aaron Aflalo at $4,800. Unless Melo's out, maybe then more touches go to Aflalo and we can look at him at that price tag. Robert Covington is still at $6,400. That's still an awesome play. I think we have to look at him in most lineups. And Jeremy Grant at $4,800 has also been putting up some pretty good fantasy value. Toronto and the Atlanta Hawks. Hawks are favored by 3.5. The total is 198. Thiago Splitter is doubtful in this game with that hip issue. So yeah, doubtful means probably not. So I don't think we need to worry there. Mike Muscala is going to jump in and take his minutes, but that's not going to be fantasy relevant. I wouldn't have thought. The fantasy value comes from Bismack Biyombo, the opposition center at $3,900. Playing pretty decent minutes, averaging 34 minutes across the last three. $3,900, that's super cheap. He should be in a lot of lineups. Luis Scola at $4,300 is more of a punt option. He struggled the last couple. But the opportunity against a Hawks team who does allow power forwards to do something and are going to be running out two big men of their own in Horford and Millsap is going to allow them, or going to sort of force the Raptors to play some bigger bodies out there instead of trying to run Damari Carroll against Paul Millsap. I don't know if that will work all that well. Al Horford is down to 6,900. I reckon that's an awesome price for Horford. I would be looking at getting him in as a center. And Corey Joseph's minutes have been steadily rising again at 4,400. There's something there, but the breakout potential is not all that high. Steering clear of Kent Bazemore. Don't want to play Thabo Sefolosha. Kyle Lowry at 8,500. I think it's an okay spot for Kyle Lowry. It is expensive though. 8,500 obviously is a pretty decent chunk of change. He's averaging 41 across his last three, so you know that he can get to that level. So I don't mind Kyle Lowry. The Hawks aren't the greatest defensive teams in terms of point guards. Jeff Teague against Kyle Lowry, don't love him in that spot. Damari Carroll at 6,000. Revenge game, if you buy into that, there's value there for him. And Damari Carroll at 75, not DeRozan, no, DeMar DeRozan, sorry, at 7,500. The Hawks allow a lot of points to opposition shooting guards also, so he could be in a spot where he can have a little bit of value, but I'm not getting too excited, nor do I love Paul Millsap at 8,600. I think that is probably pricing him out of it, although he's been awesome. He put up 54 in the last game, but that was close to his season high. Not much else to talk about from that game unless you're a fan of Bruno Caboolo, who got recalled from the D-League. If he gets a minute, I'll be shocked. The Denver Nuggets and the Chicago Bulls. Aaron Brooks is questionable. Kirk Heinrich is doubtful. So the Bulls are going to have no point guard. So we're going to see more point Jimmy Butler, and we're going to see some Etuan Moore behind Derrick Rose. The Bulls are favored by 9.5 here. The total is 198.5. Joakim Noah is sneaky, I think, here. At 4,200, the Nuggets give up a lot of minutes to big men. No, a lot of points to big men. The concern is how many minutes do you think Noah's going to get? Because the Nuggets don't have a huge amount of big guys. So maybe he plays 18 minutes. So that's the risk with Noah. But he's been putting up some okay stats for that really low salary. Nikola Jokic at 4,000. The Bulls are allowing centers to put up big, big numbers. I don't mind punting on him at that price. And with the point guard situation, Emmanuel Mudiay at 5,800, he's been really down. He's going to be really low owned, but I think that he can get some value back. Pau Gasol at 7,600 has been on a bit of a hot streak of late, so he's solid. And again, we're talking about a Nuggets team who allows these front court players to put up big numbers. And Nikola Mirotic at 5,900, he was poor in the last game, but it's not like he's going up against big twin towers here for the Nuggets. I think that Mirotic can put up some, have a really good night here. I'm keen on Nikola Mirotic. I'm a big Mirotic fan. I think he can put up some nice numbers. Will Barton at 5,300. It looks like there's going to be no Gary Harris, but that we haven't seen Barton really go over 30 minutes yet. So it's not like Barton's going out there and playing 35. And I'll say it again. It's just because he's not a good player. He can stuff the stat sheet, but at 5,300, it's just solid. I don't really think he's going to be worth getting too excited about. 8,300 for Jimmy Butler. He's dealing with his sore foot. His numbers haven't been great of late. I'll probably pass on him in this spot. Same with Danilo Gallinari at 7,100 and Kenneth Faried at 63. We just don't know what sort of minutes Kenneth Faried is going to get in this game. The New Orleans Pelicans and the Houston Rockets are up next. The Rockets are favored by 4 somehow. The total is 211.5. What do we do? Clint Capela, 4,900. That's superb value. Do you think he's going to play 30 minutes? If so, that's awesome. If he's going to play 25, it's not quite as awesome, but it's pretty good. I also love Patrick Beverley at 3,700. Both of these teams just allow so many fantasy points. So many. Patrick Beverley at 3,700 is a starting point guard. If he gives you 22 points, which is he's averaging 21 across the last three, you're done. You made your money back, and it's not sexy, but it's cheap, and it allows you to put these other high-priced guys in. This is actually a spot I like Dwight Howard in. 7,900 is down under 8,000. He's put up 30 points in the last three. Really consistent numbers. And against Omer Asik for 5 minutes, Alexey Ajinsa, opposition centers have just destroyed the Pelicans. Dwight can destroy. Clint Capela can destroy. There's a lot here to like. I don't mind taking a punt on Ajinsa at 3,500. He played only 12 minutes today, but there was foul trouble involved in that. So if he gets 25 at 3,500... it's big. You can go big. So he's someone to keep in your mind for a tournament. Anthony Davis at 10,800. I love. You just hope he doesn't go down with some sort of injury to start things off. Just to show how unbiased I am in terms of giving opinions, Norris Cole is a horrible basketball player, but he's priced at $3,500. That's minimum salary. And if they're going to run him out 23 minutes again, he's not a horrible guy to have a look at. We don't know what the Pelicans are going to do. We don't know if they're going to limit Tyreek. We don't know. We know that Jrue Holiday is probably not going to play, so Ish Smith's going to get a bump. But I'm not going to risk playing him. I don't want to risk playing Tyreek at $7,400. And the same sort of thing applies to Norris Cole. But his minimum salary, he's a punt. He's a GPP sort of guy to have a look at. I'm also definitely not risking Eric Gordon at $5,600. We just don't know what they're going to do to his minutes in this game. Marcus Thornton's trending back up. Oddly enough, he put up 29 points in the last game at 4,000. You can take a punt on him if you think they're going to play him over Terrence Jones, who is in no chance, in no spot for me to look at and go, yeah, I want to play Terrence Jones in a daily lineup. The next two games, neither of them have any spreads available at this point. The Milwaukee Bucks and the San Antonio Spurs is the first one. We need to check on the status of General Grievous Vasquez. I still like OJ Mayo at $3,800. He's played big minutes the last, I think, three of the last four games, last two in the starting lineup. The Spurs do shut down opposition shooting guards, but at that sort of salary, you can almost withstand that. Jared Bayless at $4,600. That price has come up. That probably doesn't get me too excited, and I can't trust Jason Kidd. I just don't know what he's going to do. Is he going to limit Giannis Antetokounmpo? Is he going to limit Greg Monroe? Is Carter Williams going to play 30 minutes or 18 minutes? Is Chris Middleton going to play 27 or 36? This is like Orlando, this team. It pisses me off no end with what Jason Kidd does. So a lot of these guys are really hard to rely on. Danny Green at $4,100 is an okay tournament play. Put up over 20 in the last game, and that's getting close to value. If he gives you 25 points, you've smashed your value point on him. And so just think about that. That's not much. Kawhi Leonard at $9,100. He's averaging 45 over the last three, 47 over his last five. I think he needs to be looked at very, very heavily at $9,100. Aldridge, Parker, Duncan, I'll avoid all of those guys, thanks. The Indiana Pacers and the Los Angeles Clippers is the last game of the night, and it's going to be really hard to roster a lot of these Clippers guys because Chris Paul is questionable with that rib muscle strain, and if he's out, it affects so much. It bumps Jamal Crawford, it bumps Austin Rivers, it bumps Blake Griffin. DeAndre Jordan's a guy who probably doesn't get affected too much. He's at $7,500. I think he's a really solid play to look at. He's averaged 35 across his last three, had a big 54-point game as well, including that was that game with all those free throws. I think he's in a nice spot. I think Griffin at $9,300, if we know that Paul is out, is in a really, really awesome spot. Paul George is now at $10,000. He's averaging 48. I reckon you can play Paul George. It's not like Luke Marmute or Paul Pierce is going to be able to stop him. I reckon you can get Paul Pierce into a lineup. Jamal Crawford at 41 is a punt option if we see that Paul is leaning towards being out. And not much else really stands out to me as being great here. I don't like Monte Ellis. I don't like Lance Stevenson in a revenge game, clearly. I don't like Jordan Hill. I don't like George Hill. I don't like Jan Mahinmi. Not much that really, really appeals to me in this game. All right, let's bring up the daily fantasy. That's it for the games, by the way. Let's bring up the daily fantasy plays of the day. At point guard, Pat Beverley at $3,700. D'Angelo Russell at $5,100. And John Wall comes in at $8,100. Shooting guards, OJ Mayo at $3,800. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope at $5,000. And James Harden at $10,800. Stanley Johnson's a small forward at $3,600. Nikola Mirotic at $5,900 is listed as a small forward on FanDuel. And Carmelo Anthony at $8,700. Cody Zeller at $3,600 as a power forward. Kristaps Porzingis at $7,200 is a good play for me. And Anthony Davis at $10,800 I like a lot too, especially against the Rockets. Clint Capella at $4,900 is the center. Al Horford at $6,900 and Dwight Howard at $7,900. They're my guys that I'm looking at in all different price ranges for tomorrow, along with a few of the other guys that I mentioned already. Follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_bball. Check out basketballmonster.com, hardwoodparoxysm.com, of course, redrockbasketball.com, and leave a review on iTunes. It's always fantastic if you can do that. Subscribe on YouTube if you do watch on YouTube, and even if you don't, just go across to YouTube and subscribe. Just boost the numbers up, and don't forget, no halftime. Use that promo code DUNK, D-U-N-K, and get those $25 US dollars for everyone living in Australia. So it works out to be about $85. Get that into your bank account and start playing on there and taking on some challenges and making some more money off some people who may not know as much as what you do. That's it, guys. We are done. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.